B-Pod Studios.
This is...
That's so dumb!
Felger.
Oh, you idiot!
And Nass.
Holy crap!
Felger and Nass.
I hate that.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
128-95, Celtics just have to get it across half court, and they can dribble it out. We have seen some remarkable Celtic performances on this floor the last few years. They have played Golden State better at Oracle Arena than anybody. But tonight, in what could be their final game ever at Oracle Arena, they score their biggest win here. So dominant, so impressive, so overwhelming, it's going to make people wonder if maybe it's not their final game at Oracle Arena. Hayward, half court, 6 seconds to go. Hayward, left-hand dribble drive, gets near the cup, hangs in the air. Touch shot is good. 2 seconds to go. It's in to Barnes. Deep three, no good, and the Celtics win the ball game.
Wow.
You want to talk about a character-building exercise over the last 27 hours for this basketball team. After everything they have been through, they lay waste to the defending world champion Golden State Warriors in Oakland. And tonight, on the second night of a back-to-back, they outlast the playoff hopeful Sacramento Kings. And Gordon Hayward is right in the middle of everything on both nights.
Hour 2 of Gender Free Friday, driven by our friends at the Bernardi Auto Group. Everything on the board. Celtics big weekend heading into Los Angeles. Bruins winning streak, or point streak anyway. Trump story, whatever you want. And NFL free agent. In fact, why don't we kick off that hour with a call on that. Mike and Methuen on the Pats. Hi, Mike.
Hey, guys. So I think we can all agree the Patriots need an upgrade at receiver, but I just don't think they need AB or OBJ.
Agreed.
And if you look at the recent Super Bowl winners, if it's the Patriots this year, the Eagles, they brought in Alshon, but it was on a one-year cheap prove-it deal. And even like the Seahawks, they just had Doug Baldwin. The really only exception would be the Broncos, but the offense wasn't any reason why they won that Super Bowl. So the recent Super Bowl winners really haven't had those big-time receivers, and I just don't think they need one of those guys.
Oh, my God, the big-time number one flashy outside receiver? How many of those guys have won championships? Very, very few. Moss never won, T.O. never won, Beckham's won squat, Antonio Brown hasn't won, Julio Jones should have, didn't. I gave you a list a couple weeks ago. It's massive. No one needs them, but especially this team with the way Tom Brady plays. Don't need them.
So my only question is Brown your classic outside flashy receiver?
He's the pain in the ass diva receiver. Can I just take out outside? I don't mean that.
Okay.
What I mean is superstar pain in the balls receiver.
The get me the ball guy.
The get me the ball guy. Not worth it. Not worth it, man.
Kyrie's a football? Is that where you're going?
Exactly. <Yeah. laughs> Exactly right. And especially not here, where they've proven for two decades they don't need that guy. And Brady's game is not really tailored to it anyway. And I think a lot of times that guy has ruined Brady. I thought Moss took Brady down the wrong path. It was great in 07, but it slowly devolved into... Bill Belichick said it in his documentary. If you get on top of Moss and underneath Welker, we don't have anything. And when they tried to feed the ball to Josh Gordon down the field last year, the offense went in the wrong direction. I want nothing to do with it. You know, and I'm not telling you Randall Cobb is the sort of answer, but he could be part of it if it's a nice, if it's a good price. And I'm not usually a price guy. I'm just telling you he's not a number one. And so if he gets paid like a number one, that's a dumb contract. But if the contract's worth it, he's a piece. Golden Tate's a piece. Like, build it like that. They're going to have to do something, whether it's superstars or the draft, or they have one receiver who's caught an NFL pass under contract.
Which is why I'm really more interested in the group than I am any one guy.
Right.
Like, you know, to me, it's about putting together a whole receiving core, because that's what they have to do now. And what are we going to do? Put our stock in Honey Nut Cheerios out there playing in the seventh round or whatever they picked them?
You mean Berrios?
Yeah, it's the same, whatever.
We've got Fred and Ayer on the Celts. Hi, Fred.
My question is, why wouldn't a trade between the Celtics and the Pelicans work if it were Kyrie Irving for Anthony Davis?
Okay, because New Orleans would never do that unless Kyrie committed to staying in New Orleans. And something tells me if he's leery of staying in Boston, he's not going to be that hot on staying in New Orleans. So that doesn't work. That's not the way that goes. Could have happened at the trade deadline, but same thing. Now New Orleans is trading for half a season of Kyrie Irving when they're in 12th place. What's the point?
No, it makes zero sense.
Okay.
Yeah. And I, you know, there are a lot of people theorizing, too, like for the Celtics, it would make sense even if they lose Kyrie to bring in Davis. That, to me, makes no sense. None. It's both or neither.
I would agree with that. Jack and Beckett with the Celtics talk. Go ahead, Jack. Jack, you're on the air. He says, who cares if Kyrie Irving is unhappy with his role? We asked this before. If it's going to be, if Gordon Hayward's going to have a bigger role, and that's, and we're just guessing this, that that might be something they came to. That means less for Kyrie, and how's he going to handle it? That, to me, is the question. And so the caller's going to say, well, what if he doesn't like it? Who cares?
You can kiss him goodbye.
Right, then you lose him.
Then you lose him, and he'll infect the team even further, and that's just the balance that Stevens and the team is going to have to walk if this is what they've decided to do.
So, look, again, I'm all for the culture. You know, in terms of them having a good culture, a good organizational standard, we preach team here. You're out, Kyrie, if you don't want to be here. I'm all for that. I just don't know if in that league you can win without that guy. That's all. I don't know if you can win without that guy. I don't like it any more than anybody else does. But I've accepted the reality of that league, and I did a long time ago.
I understand. What you're not allowing for is that in time, Tatum can develop into that player.
Maybe.
And Gordon Hayward, and you've seen the flashes now, that when he gets healthy, is a solid number two or number three. And now you're getting there. And now you're getting there just by standing pat and letting these guys either get healthy or develop.
Yeah, see, I'm not, it's possible. I'm not sure those guys are as good as everyone thinks they are.
It's also possible that you could get two guys who hate it here to want to be here.
Sure. And it's also possible that you let Kyrie go, you don't get Anthony Davis, and you're the Indiana Pacers. That's also possible, too. Talent in that league historically wins.
Maybe you're underestimating the talent that's already here.
Maybe, but I doubt it.
Steve in Missouri on the Bruins. Hi, Steve.
Hey, guys. Just wanted to give you my thoughts on DeBrusque. Just a lot of good things I'm seeing that highlight, you know, the guys who played with Krejci on those cup runs. He reminds me a lot like Horton in the sense that he's got a pretty good shot. He's able to stay in plays with his game speed. You know, he's not going to burn you with his coast-to-coast speed. Just the way he's able to jump in on plays, see them develop, and again, like I mentioned, pretty good shots. And one good thing I think Lucic gave you on the other side with DeBrusque does is he's terrorizing guys down the corner for defensemen. Thanks for taking my call.
Okay, but Lucic, I don't understand the Lucic point. He's gone, and the other guy...
I don't think he's like Horton either.
God, that annoys me. No, and DeBrusque isn't Horton. DeBrusque isn't Horton was much bigger, and DeBrusque is much faster. They may have the same level of finish, you know, and what kind of pure goal score each is. Horton was a little more refined when he got here, but DeBrusque, you know, profiles as that kind, you know, not an elite goal scorer, but the next rung down. All I care about is that Krejci has a thing going with DeBrusque, like he had with Horton, like
sure.
Bergeron does with Martin. You know, that pairing works. Is there any word on what DeBrusque's injury is? He was scratched from last night's game and was walking around in a boot.
Well, no. he blocked a shot apparently early in the last game that he played, and they said that potentially it's a cracked bone in his foot. But that DuPont speculated that they don't know that.
Well, he played that entire game.
He did, but it might be one of those things where, you know, once you take off the skate, it balloons.
Yeah,
I have no idea. I'm just telling you what I read. So to me, and everything you hear though is it's not going to be long.
Okay.
So if it's a cracked bone, how long can it be? I mean, it's going to be longer than not long, isn't it?
I have no idea. Hairline fracture. I don't know. That's an important guy. That's an important guy.
Yeah, and after last night's game, Cassidy, the head coach, obviously said, I've said this before this year, I don't think it's anything major. I don't, and that's our official reports from the doctors. This isn't just me making crap up.
I love this guy.
See, I think he's important in the playoffs, too, because he is a great forechecker.
Absolutely.
He turns the puck over, man. That's what he does.
Well, I think you have a razor-thin margin between having a representative top six and not. And after the trades, you might have it. It's really close. But if anyone peels off of that, if anyone gets hurt in that top six, you go back to not having a balanced team.
Right, let alone three of them.
I just think it's that close.
Between DeBrusque, Johansson, and Pastrnak, right now you're without three wingers.
Cassidy, a little ball buster. The Greslick game-time goal was quite a snipe. Wait to hear what the coach had to say about him right after the game last night. We continue with your thoughts after we release some breaking news.
Is breaking sports news. Powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
So this just minutes ago from Jeff McClain, Eagles reporter for the Philadelphia Inquirer. Blue checkmark. An Eagles trade of defensive end Michael Bennett to the New England Patriots is going down as of this writing. According to NFL sources, draft picks still being ironed out. But defensive end Michael Bennett to the Patriots from the Philadelphia Eagles.
Nice player.
I love this guy.
Nice player. Kind of a a-hole.
Yeah.
He and his brother bug me. But
Marty, I think, is not as much of a pain in the ass as his brother is.
I think both these guys are pains in the ass.
This guy's a monster,
but he's a good player.
Yeah.
He's a good player. He's a good player. You tell me, how far has he fallen from when he was in Seattle? Because in Seattle, I mean...
He was like unstoppable in that
Super Bowl. He was one of the best players on the field in that game. He was a weapon.
The Super Bowl against New England in 14, he was absolutely unstoppable. And he was excellent in Seattle his whole run. How is he now? Has he fallen off? How old is he?
He's 33. I'm looking at the contract. I don't have the exact age, but he's around 33.
What's his contract?
He's got a base of 6.2 in 2019, $7 million in 2020.
They couldn't have given much for him. They were about to cut his ass today.
Okay, so that's what I wonder. So there were reports he was going to get cut.
So it's going to be no higher than like a fourth or a fifth.
Right.
And they aren't going to give him that money, are they? Are they going to pay him that full contract? Did you just... I'm sorry, Mask. I just pulled up
6.2 base, 7. Yeah, 6.2 and 7. But you know what?
So
this is Trey Flowers' insurance.
They don't have the cap hit. So the cap hit's not theirs. They're only responsible for... there's a roster bonus on there. So it's really 7.2 in this year's money. 7.2 for a guy who's 33 and was about to be cut.
So my question is, does this mean they're letting Flowers
go? Yeah.
So, right, that's the first thing you think, which would be unfortunate. I'd like to think this guy's playing with Flowers, and now you're cooking.
Well, yeah, absolutely. But what do you think it is? Would you rather think?
I'm done predicting the Patriots.
Okay, but again, I'm not asking to predict. I'm just asking.
Yes, you are. What do I think? Are they going to sign Trey Flowers or not? I have no idea.
So do you think it's more likely that they would sign Trey Flowers at $14 million a year or take a flyer and Michael Bennett for $7?
An impossible team to predict.
Okay, but then let's not talk
about it. I'll play along,
no,
man.
Thank you.
I think that Trey Flowers is gone, and they're going to go with Michael Bennett, who's the cheaper option.
That would be my gut feeling, too. Yep. I, like you, hope that they keep both.
No,
I would love to see him keep both.
I've been at this now for 19 years with this effing team, with Belichick. This is exactly what you would think. Yep, they've signed this guy because they're letting Flowers go. And you spend an hour, you spend 4 days talking about it, and then, breaking news, the Pats have just signed Trey Flowers.
That's what we do.
But mm-hmm. I'm not going to rule anything out.
Just a man who...
I'm not ruling anything out either. I'm telling you that if I had to guess right now, that's what it is.
Am I beaten down, Murray? Yep. Yes, I'm beaten down.
A man who's shook to his core.
I am shook to my core.
What happened to you?
They won. They won, I lost.
What happened to you?
They won, I lost.
Seriously?
I'm a broken man. I'm not going to predict the Patriots anymore.
Holy crap.
Jimmy?
You know what? Don't even go... When you go in the bathroom, don't even use the urinal. Just go in the stall and sit.
I'm going to sit down to pee. That's what they've done to me. Wow. I'm not ruling anything out. I'm not.
What happened to you?
It would be just like them to make this move. And for us all to say, well, that means Trey Flowers is gone, and rip them for it. And then the next thing you know, they've re-signed Trey Flowers. It's just like them.
And we have shows out of it, which is good content.
Well, that's fine. Well, this is content too. So do whatever you want. Do whatever you want.
So for the next 4 days, let's not suggest that
can suggest all you want.
Just want to make sure I'm staying in bounds.
I
don't know what the rules are now. Changing the rules 9.5 years.
You don't have any rules.
Is the CBA up or something? We're changing the rules.
There are no rules.
Is that what it is?
There are no rules. No rules. Do what you want. You think Trey Flowers is gone? That would suck.
That's my fear.
That would suck. Of course it's your fear.
I look at it and I say, if that, because that's what it would feel like, knowing generally what they feel about contracts and investing big dollars in players.
Okay.
And the motivation that comes with money.
Maybe there's a restructure coming here.
I would love that. I would love for them to keep both. I hope that's what they're doing. My fear is that they are doing the opposite and that this is Trey Flowers' replacement.
So I'm just looking. It doesn't feel like any of this money is guaranteed. Okay. In 2019, Bennett will earn a base salary of 6.2 with a roster bonus of $1 million, carrying a cap hit of 7.2. Nowhere there does it mention on SpoTrack that it's guaranteed, which means the Pats can rip up the contract. But if they rip up the contract, that means they have to release him, and then he's a free agent. So maybe they've all hammered this out. You know, maybe they've already done all this, which is, you know, entirely possible too. At these dollars and bringing back Flowers, I'd be pleasantly surprised if they did it. But I would not rule it out. How's that?
So you agree?
I don't even remember what you said.
You agree that it's more likely that Flowers is out than not? Because you just said you'd be surprised at these dollars.
I'm not willing to commit to that statement.
You are such a wuss bag.
Let's simplify this. Mike, what do you think the Patriots would do here?
Seriously. You have been... When did somebody chop your nuts off? When did that happen?
Here's what I think the Patriots would do. They would let us carry on for a week ripping them for letting Trey Flowers go and then re-sign him.
Good.
And then for the next month,
I won't feel guilty.
I'd have to listen to, oh, another one. Oh, idiot. That's what I think would happen.
Yeah, that's the job, Mike.
Yeah, sure it is. Yeah. Yeah, that's the job.
Oh, you know what? Let's just do it like everyone else does it then. Coming up next on Felger and Maz, we will examine the Patriots' wide receiving core and look at the sleepers in the late rounds of the NFL draft.
Perfect.
That's coming up next.
Perfect tease.
Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
I hate jokes. We're not taking jokes.
That joke's blue.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Brady's under center. He taps Stork and the Seahawks encroach. Tom Brady got Seattle to jump. The Seahawks overly aggressive.
They jumped.
And Tom Brady buys some room with the flags to the turf.
Encroachment.
Take it back.
Defense number 72. 5-yard penalty. Go first down.
Seattle does have the one timeout left. 20 seconds to go. Brady back under center. Tom has the snap, and Brady drops to his knee. 18 seconds. Timeout. Seahawks.
Classless group.
Extra
Seattle
pushing
Seahawks.
And shoving. Seahawks, and boy, you got a couple of Seahawks out there.
Classless.
Michael Bennett among them.
Get him out. What a classless.
Instigating what results in a melee in the end zone.
No class.
Fine. After the play, personal foul. Unnecessary roughness. Instigator number 51. He's been ejected. 15-yard penalty. Automatic first down.
That's the last we really heard from Michael Bennett. Going off sides and then picking a fight with Rob Gronkowski in the closing seconds of Super Bowl 49, whatever Super Bowl it was, against Seattle. Zoe called him classless many times on the broadcast. We'll see what Zoe's commentary is on Monday.
Good point.
Something tells me we won't be hearing the word classless.
No, he'll pull a Jack Edwards on this one.
So that's Michael Bennett. No word yet on what the Patriots gave up. He's, again, reportedly been traded to the Patriots. Defensive lineman from Seattle that year has been in Philadelphia. Was it the last couple?
Yes, yeah.
And
33 years old, 8.5 sacks last year.
Tremendous player in Seattle. Force of nature. Don't know exactly what it came to in Philadelphia, but couldn't have been too bad because he was there when they won the Super Bowl and beat you 2 years ago. Reportedly going to be released or traded, and he refused to take a pay cut in Philadelphia.
So that means he's not taking one here.
Exactly.
So, but again, this is probably what lowered the cost, and the more I think about it, if it's anything higher than a fifth, they overpaid.
Right.
It shouldn't be anything in the top four round. To me, there's a line there. I don't know how you feel. After the fourth round, I feel like it becomes more of a crapshoot.
Check that. It was 9 sacks last year, by the way.
Am I nuts to think that way?
Well, I mean, whatever.
I think like in the fourth round, you can still get a player.
I will do the fifth, sixth, and seventh rounds on your own time.
Okay, so that's how I feel. Like, so to me, if it's anything higher than a fifth, then they overpaid a little bit. But, I mean, look, and I remember him when he was at his prime. I don't know how he's playing now. This guy, he disrupts games. He is an absolute force up there. There's a trade they made recently that was similar to this. I'm trying to think of what the hell it was. It's just popped into my head. But I like this type of practice. You were going to release the guy. You know, we were going to pursue him anyway, so we'll give you the fifth and keep him off the market.
So Michael Bennett said just a little bit ago, this was published on March 8th. Is that today?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I guess he was on Good Morning Football. This might have been this morning, Stu, or yesterday. So there's sound right there. I can't play it on my computer. But Michael Bennett on Good Morning Football. The story was published March 8th at 10:30. So this morning, saying he wouldn't take a pay cut. He says, I still know that I'm one of the best players in the NFL. You look at statistically last year, quarterback hits, tackles for losses. And with how I approach a game, I love football and whatever team I'm on. I'm going to take that same attitude and go out there and be a nasty player and try and dominate. So Bennett's scheduled to make $7.2 million in 2019. The Eagles could wipe the entire salary off the books by moving on from the 33-year-old pass rusher. The Eagles currently sit $18 million under the cap. Bennett told Good Morning Football he's not interested in a pay cut, but rather is seeking a potential raise. Oh, great. You always get caught off guard whenever your name is brought up in the trade blocks or being traded, but you understand that people want to acquire your services, and we're in a tough situation as far as the cap. They're $20 million under. Bennett said, So you can still rip up the contract and not have him take a cut. If he's due to make 7.2, you give him a $10 million bonus and sign him to a two-year deal and blah, blah, blah. Like, there's ways to guarantee he gets his money this year and maybe even has a slight raise based off what he has right now and make him happy money-wise. It's just, is he worth doing at 33, 34 years old?
So, again, I didn't watch him all the time, you know, but I didn't look at him this year in the times that I did see Philly and think he was done. I know that. And it was his only year in Philly. I said it was his second. It was his first.
It wasn't 2 years?
Nope. He only played 1 year in Philadelphia.
Oh, that's right. All right. So he wasn't on the Super Bowl team. I take it back. I got confused too. My fault.
Yep. He only played 1 year.
Last year was his first year there. So he was not in that Super Bowl against you.
Correct. And he did have, you know, Murray said 9 sacks. 30 quarterback hits, 15 tackles for loss. The 30 quarterback hits tied a career high. The 15 tackles for loss were second highest in his career. Like, it doesn't look like he sucked based on numbers now.
Okay. Reportedly, the Patriots have traded defensive end Michael Bennett. What does that mean for Trey Flowers? What does that mean going forward in free agency? More hard-hitting opinions coming right after. More details here on this breaking Patriots news in the update.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
I just don't know what to say anymore.
Wrong. Sorry.
It's Felger and Maz.
They could use a good ass kicking.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
You might be on the trading block, or that you might not be back in Philadelphia. So I ask you, I say, Michael, what is your thoughts on the current state of Michael Bennett in the Philadelphia Eagles?
Well, I don't know what's happened with the Eagles. Of course, you always want to be with the team that you play with. But at the same time, we all know it's a business and you want to be able to, you know, make money whenever you get the opportunities to. And I feel like if you're on the trading block, it's just a part of the game. But at the same time, I still know that I'm still one of the best players in the NFL. You look at statistically last year, quarterback hits, TFLs, and how I approach the game. I love football, and whatever team I'm on, I'm going to take that same attitude and go out there and be a nasty player and try to dominate on our defensive line and be the best teammate and the best player I could possibly be.
Are you affected by it, though? Like, you see your name being on Twitter, and you see your name on NFL Network. Does that affect you as an individual?
Well, because you're on vacation, you're like, what's happening? And so you're always caught off guard whenever your name is brought up in the trade blocks or being traded, but you understand that, you know, people want to acquire your services, and I think we in a tough situation to start as far as the salary cap, and I'm not willing to take a pay cut. I actually want to pay raise at this point, and so whatever happens, just to know whatever team I go to, I want to get paid more than what I'm getting paid right now.
Oh, this is great. Not even here, and he's already demanding a raise. That's great.
We in a tough situation as far as the salary cap, and I'm not willing to take a pay cut. I actually want to pay raise.
And so whatever team that's going to trade for me, know that. Good God. All right, so that's Michael Bennett. This morning on the NFL Network, the Patriots have just reportedly traded for him. And again, he's set to make $7.2 million this year, which for him is not enough. He's not going to take a pay cut. In fact, he wants a raise. So as he said, who's ever trading for me, just know that. We've learned the compensation, Mass?
Yes, yeah. According to Jeff McClain of the Philadelphia Inquirer, he says the Eagles are likely to receive a 2020 fifth rounder and a 2020 seventh rounder. So that's next year's draft.
Fifth and a seventh next year.
Yeah, and that to me, again, I'm just going on instinct, but if there's anything higher than a fifth, that feels too high.
For a guy that's about to be cut anyway?
Right. So this is the Patriots just saying, you know what, you take him off the market. So I've just seen varying things here on message boards and whatnot. It looks to me like he signed for 2 years.
Yeah, he has 2 years left.
Okay, I thought one of the message boards said that he's going to be a free agent after the year.
Nope. So, he's got good. In next year in 2020 has $8 million due.
Okay, good. I like it. I mean, the guy's a colossal pain in the ass. Good for us, but I think he can still play.
Well, speaking to his pain in the assness, I just got a message from our old intern, Tucker.
Well,
yeah, Tucker.
Well, can I read something first?
Yeah, please.
Well, you guys have his book, right?
No.
You don't have his book?
No.
What's the book?
Billy, do you have his book? It was published last April. It's entitled Things That Make White People Uncomfortable.
Oh, boy.
You guys have that? Cameron, the intern, did you go get that last April?
He should have called me.
You're a white dude.
I could have been quoted in that book.
Things That Make White People Uncomfortable. Can I just read from his legal issues chapter in the wiki page?
Sure.
In August 2017, Bennett was involved in an incident. So this is the Vegas thing.
Right.
Okay, where he claimed police brutality and the video footage didn't back it up. He was involved in an incident. Well, I mean, you know what? I don't need to read that. We all know that. He got handcuffed and cuffed around pretty badly after some sort of melee there in Las Vegas. Claimed that police said they threatened to blow his head off. The police denied the accusations. The video evidence does not corroborate Bennett's story. The video came out, and I don't know where that is. The wiki says the incident remains under investigation. So that was August of 2017. So that's still out there. That really never went anywhere on either side. But this is good. I love reading this paragraph. On March 23rd, 2018, a warrant was issued for Bennett's arrest by police in Harris County, Texas, for allegedly injuring an elderly paraplegic worker at Super Bowl 51.
Oh, right.
Held 13 months previously. So I don't remember this. This feels, I mean, I don't know. He was coming off the field and there's a big scrum and he knocked someone over. I mean, I can't remember exactly, but just on March 26th, that year, Bennett returned to the U.S. from outside the country where he was when his arrest warrant was issued and surrendered to police custody. He posted a $10,000 bail bond and was set free. Bennett pled not guilty in April. Bennett has still been unable to appear in court for his indictment related to that because the court date was postponed six times in April, May, June, August, September, and October, and now March 2019. He's scheduled to appear in court March 27th, 2019, which...
Yeah, uncanny timing.
The next day, Robert is in court in Palm Beach. This is why the Patriots character coach said, guys, I can't, there's not, I can't, I don't feel like I'm having an impact here. So March, the Patriots March legal calendar is filling up quickly. Get your dates because they're all getting chopped up. And again, this incident might be trumped up or what? I mean, I don't know. It sounds horrible. Allegedly injuring an elderly paraplegic, but I don't remember how it happened or what happened. Anyway, he's due in court March 27th, Kraft the next day. What do you got?
Well, this was just pertaining to the on-the-field stuff. He's been one of the more penalized players in the NFL over the last five seasons. So himself, in 2014, 16 penalties. 2015, 12. 2016, 10. 2017, 15 penalties. Last year, a down year for Michael Bennett. When it came to penalties, he had seven.
And wingnuts.
Oh, they're going to lose their minds.
Beware. He's an anthem sitter. He's an anthem sitter. He's not even an anthem kneeler. He's an anthem sitter. He sits. Or he did. He did. He would sit. He didn't even have the, He didn't even want to kneel, you know, which is sort of a halfway gesture. He sat on the bench.
Oh, this guy's going to be gold for us.
Tremendous.
He's going to be gold for us. He is. And look, that's the title of his book. And meanwhile, his brother's writing children's books, right? That's like, talk about the opposite end of the spectrum. But I tell you, look, again, I'm doesn't sound like a great guy.
Can we order this book? Things That Make White People Uncomfortable? Can we please?
Is there an audio book version? Or can you get to us?
Thank you. Exactly.
Oh, he's a good player, though.
Oh, man, he's nasty, or he has been. Let's see. The audiobook is, it's not available. Huh, hardcover $16. Oh, no, audio CD, $26. Let's get it. We'll expense it.
Oh, definitely.
So this is the newest member of the New England Patriots. Your thoughts, Josh in New Hampshire. Go ahead.
I'm just wondering if you guys think that with this trade, it's kind of going the same route as last year. You make, you know, low-cost trades for some high-impact players, and then you end up getting those compensatory picks again. You let someone like Trent Brown go. You let someone like Trey Flowers, girl.
Yeah,
bringing,
no, no, yeah,
know,
Josh. Hold on. Mass is already getting uncomfortable.
Because I don't care what they get back when they let him go.
Aren't you glad they got a good player?
Like that.
Just start with that.
So again, what are we playing? Musical chairs with the shell game with the picks? Yeah, Belichick's trading a fifth and a seventh, and he's going to get a third. So that's what this is about?
The guy can get to the quarterback.
I mean, ultimately, I don't care about any of that. He was fourth in the league in quarterback hits last year. Fourth in the league. I hear that and I say, good. And the only guys ahead of him were Aaron Donald, Fletcher Cox, who was his teammate, and I can never pronounce this, the guy in Jacksonville, Ngakoue?
Ngakoue.
So he was third. I mean, this guy gets to the quarterback as much as anybody. Like, again, which, again, Belichick's not basing it on sacks. Right. He's saying you're getting there and putting pressure on the guy.
Exactly. Phil and Rivera, your thoughts.
Guys, this is a good thing. This guy's a good player. He's a beast. And they're not going to sign Trey Flowers. They pay their players how they...
We've had two of those now in a couple of weeks.
No. It's a good line. But we'll just let that go. I'm not ruling out Trey Flowers, baby. I'm not ruling out Trey Flowers. They have money to spend. They have not been a big spending team for years. They go through these cycles.
I'm ruling out nothing. I'm asking you to lay odds.
No, you're asking me to predict.
I'm asking you to lay odds.
Okay, odds. Fine, I'll give you odds.
Okay, more likely that they keep Flowers.
60-40, Flowers is gone.
Okay, there you go.
There you go.
We got a legit take. Hey, so again, so you agree.
He lives.
Well, by 60%. There's still that 40 that's dangling out there.
Okay, but that's more likely than not.
Long commercial-free segment is next.
You're listening to Felger and Bass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
I just don't know what to say anymore.
Wrong, sorry.
It's Felger and Maz.
They could use a good ass kicking.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Chara pounds it out. Center circle of Chara, barrels in, cuts down the slot, looking for a puck. It squirts to the far side with 9. Far circle, Bergeron. He scores!
All right, agenda-free Friday. We still got the Bruins on the board, the Celtics on the board. Bennett coming, Michael Bennett coming to New England. All those things on the table. To your calls quickly. Let's jump through as many of these as we can. And the Trump connection to the Kraft case, as reported by the Miami Herald this morning. Bill in the truck on the Bruins.
Hey, guys. Long-time listener, first-time caller, senior citizen. Like to compare the Bruins to back in the late 60s, early 70s. I used to stay up at 11:30, 12 o'clock at night. They'd be out playing the Oakland Golden Seals and be behind 5 goals and
Bill.
Come back and win the game.
Okay, Bill, but that team was a all-time super talented team laden with Hall of Famers. That's not this team.
Well, it's an exciting team to watch. They're not boring. They have camaraderie. They have character and they have toughness.
It's a fun team. No question it's a fun team. And they're not like this in style. I just worry that they're the lunch pail AC from the late 70s, which is good, competitive, fought every night. They really fought. This team just, you know, small F fights.
Competed, yeah.
Competed every night, and at the end of the day runs into more talented teams in the playoffs and doesn't win.
Yeah, or really even the Bruins of the 80s. Like, why stop
there? The Bruins
of
my entire life.
Exactly.
Frankly.
I mean, so there is that possibility, and this is what, I don't know, in a lot of ways, like, it's a huge postseason for these Bruins. Like, they were in it last year, you know, new group, young guys, et cetera, and I know they still have a window with Bergeron, et cetera, but we need to see more from McAvoy. DeBrus was pretty good last year, but these young guys, let's see it. Playoff time, let's see it.
In the playoffs, exactly. Steven in Providence on the Trump story. Hi, Steven.
Hey, listen, you guys sound like a bunch of conspiracy theorists. How many thousands of people do you think the President of the United States has taken pictures with?
A lot.
Lot, right? So what other evidence is there that she's that you guys are like going out on a limb and saying, oh, Trump it's a half an hour away. Yeah, a lot of things are half an hour away from Mar-a-Lago. I mean, come on.
It's not just a picture. Did you read the story?
Steven, I'm not going out on any limb. The Miami Herald wrote the story.
Did you read the story?
I've been listening to you guys talk
You read the story. Read the story. It's not just a picture. She's all over the place at Mar-a-Lago and his private clubs. Okay, so she's in his orbit, however distant or whatever. I didn't say that she was in his inner circle. She's in his outer orbit, that sketchy outer orbit that probably all politicians have, and this guy certainly does too.
She didn't vote for 10 years, and then all of a sudden she shows up in 2016 and starts donating money to Trump?
All I'm telling you is it's going to be used against Trump. It's going to be used against Trump, and this might explain why Kraft has lawyered up so heavily, because this is going to spill into other realms. And how it's just our insanely stupid political climate, how everything now, spills into the political climate. And I don't know how this doesn't, with how far up, you know, Trump's keister the Democrats are and how far up the Republicans were, the keister of Hillary Clinton and all of it. It's what they do now. It's what these politicians do. They just investigate each other. So this is where this is going. Justin in Providence. Go ahead, Justin.
Hello?
Yes, on the Celtics. Go ahead.
A quick point. I'm going to give it and hang up and listen. So as of right now, Celtics are a 5 seed. I think they can easily get to a 3 seed. The 76ers are a complete joke. The Indiana Pacers, I looked at their schedule, they have 16 games left. 13 of 16 are against playoff teams in either the East or the West, and 8 are against playoff teams in the West, which is a lot different.
I was going to say, Justin, I think Indy still has to go out West and do the Golden State trip, like that whole thing.
They play 8 games against West playoff teams.
So I agree with you. The competition, another thing to feel good about, even when the Celtics were sucking, I still look at Philly, and I think I think Philly's a disgrace. I think it's a disgrace. If, again, Brown's first name? Brett Brown. Brown is not ripped daily on Philadelphia sports radio for 16 hours at a time, then those folks in Philly are clueless. Because that guy is a absolute boob. That team has no idea how to play when it matters, and that obviously reflects on the coach. So Philly's still Philly. Indy's without its best player, and they're going to lose games. If you look at Indy's schedule, they got a hard schedule. So the conference still lays out for the Celtics.
Yeah, assuming they want it.
Assuming they want it. That's right.
So this, to me, that's the variable. I don't look at those other teams and feel like they're better than the Celtics if the Celtics play at their peak. The question is, can they play at their peak for an extended period? That's been the question all year, and that's still the question.
Ed in Woburn. Go ahead, Ed.
Really quick, we cannot compare this Bruins team to the 70s Bruins. Bobby Orr was a plus 124 that year, but that's not why I'm calling.
Yeah.
I'm calling because, I've called the last couple of weeks. Are you ready to name this fourth line better than the Fribble crew? Did you see that move Wagner made last night cutting through the middle? Are you kidding me? The skill that those guys have, the grit, I think they're better.
Ed, I've been saying for a while that I think fourth line might be more valuable than that fourth line. Better? What are we talking about? They filled totally different roles. That fourth line in 2011 was a physically intimidating line with Thornton, and, that was a different era, too. The Bruins led the league in fights when people still fought.
You'd say it's just as important.
It's important in a different way. Cassidy leans on this line as much, if not more, than Claude leaned on that line. And I'm happier to see this line, frankly, because I think more of the guys can play.
Who was it that was on the ice with Bergeron and Marchand last night?
Achari.
I was going to say Corrali.
I think it was Achari.
Because I get them mixed up sometimes. So, no, you're right. It was Achari. Look, they're just so much faster than they used to be. Isn't that stunning to you sometimes? I admit, I'm traumatized by having grown up in the era where the Bruins just lined people up and knocked them through the glass. I see the Bruins flying around still, after how many years they've been playing this way now. Still, I watch them, I say, this is not the team I remember.
Michael Bennett to the Patriots. Daryl in Bellingham, how do you feel about that?
Oh, I've been holding my venom for about 20 minutes hanging online. This guy is a piece of crap. What's the name of his book? Things that make white people uncomfortable?
Yes.
Add an addendum. Patriots signing this bag of crap is definitely something that makes people uncomfortable.
Why is he a bag of crap? Daryl, why?
He's a race-baiting, criminal, lying piece of crap.
Okay, so where's the criminal part?
Where's the criminal part?
Yeah.
What did he get locked up for that he tried to say the police beat on him?
He didn't get locked up.
He didn't get locked up?
Well, I mean, I don't know. Maybe spent a night or two, but he wasn't arrested or anything.
Well, the cuffs put on him, and he was placed under arrest.
So I don't think he was locked up, though, quote-unquote, Daryl.
He didn't do hard time. He was placed in handcuffs, put into a cell, and held. That's being placed under arrest.
Okay. So he's a piece of crap and a criminal.
As you like, fact, not fiction.
Okay, so this is great because now we bring out all the racist wingnuts.
Yeah.
So this is why it's really good for business.
This is why I'm so happy this is happening.
Because it's going to bring out all the a-holes.
Give me the chaos.
Bring me all the a-holes. No, don't. So that sort of a-hole take can go somewhere else, and the a-hole take on the other side can go somewhere else. But this is what this player brings. I'm just curious, you know, for Belichick, who really, you know, wants you seen and not heard, wants you to ignore the noise and not contribute to the noise. But talk about things that make not white people uncomfortable, but coaches uncomfortable. Players that invite this kind of scrutiny.
Yeah, don't you think they've had some departure from that, though?
Yeah, no, I mean,
Gronk has been pretty outspoken, and I'm not saying he's been like this guy, but Gronk came right out and acknowledged that they tried to trade him.
Well, so look, Bill's obviously comfortable with it. Bill made the trade.
You see, to me, this is the golden rule here is that the bottom line is the Patriots like a good deal. The Patriots like a good deal.
Yeah, I don't think the money's that great of a deal.
But the trade is.
The draft pick is.
I mean, they got him for basically, I don't want to say nothing.
Do you realize that it's not a fifth and a seventh? It's a fifth for Bennett and a seventh? The seventh is coming back.
Oh, the seventh's coming back.
Yeah, I mean, not that you care about that, but.
Okay.
I mean, you don't even lose a draft pick.
Then they got him for virtually nothing.
Yes.
Right? So, and this is, to me, this is the one golden rule that always seems to apply in Foxborough, with very few exceptions. They like a good deal. Albert Hainsworth wasn't a great guy either.
It's usually financial.
Part of it. But again, in their mind, if they're paying this guy half of what they're going to pay Trey Flowers, if it goes that way.
60-40.
Okay, if it goes that way, that's a good deal.
Quickly, Moore, you got some?
Yeah, you know what's going to be fun? Who's the new defensive coordinator here?
Oh, Schiano.
He played under him when he was with the Tampa Bay Bucks. And I thought he took shots at him years ago. I found the quotes.
Okay.
Oh, beautiful.
We will play these. Chris Gasper's sting by. More on Michael Bennett right after Murray's update. No commercial. In case you didn't know, there is breaking Patriots news. It comes right here.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.